Good evening. A whistleblower's complaint is declassified and published for all to read. The president says he's the victim of spies, and Democrats accuse Trump of running the country like a mob boss. With these and other stories, I'm Paul D'Arienzo with the WBAI Evening News for Thursday, September 26, 2019. First in headline news, the U.S. is sending one Patriot missile battery and four ground-based radar systems to Saudi Arabia. The Pentagon said Thursday the deployment will involve about 200 troops. The Pentagon is responding to what officials say was a brazen cruise missile and drone attack on Saudi oil refineries and facilities on September 14th. There's been no evidence that Tehran was responsible for the attacks, but officials insist they have no doubt the attacks were launched from inside Iran. Iran has denied involvement and warned any attacks will spark an all-out war with immediate retaliation. And two separate diplomatic delegations represented Venezuela at the UN General Assembly this year. They're in a fierce fight for international recognition as the country reels from an economic collapse and political uncertainty exacerbated by U.S. sanctions and threats of military attack by the Trump administration. One set of diplomats represents President Nicolas Maduro, Venezuela's head of state in the eyes of the United Nations system. The other group represented the shadow government of Juan Guaido, recognized by the U.S. and other countries that have condemned Maduro's 2018 re-election as fraudulent. Neither leader came to the U.N. Maduro is in Moscow to meet with ally Vladimir Putin, and Guaido's delegation was barred from entering the U.N. until they were given a few passes from other nations. Maduro's government controls Venezuela's U.N. mission headquarters, while Guaido's people set up shop at Venezuela's consulate in New York. But it was Maduro's foreign minister, Jorge Arreaza, who sat in Venezuela's chair for the General Assembly debate. And the U.S. Census Bureau released figures today that show income inequality in the United States expanded from 2017 to 2018. Several heartland states are leading the increase, while the greatest wealth inequality is still in the coastal states. While household income actually increased to almost $62,000, it was distributed unevenly. The wealthiest were apparently aided by the 2017 tax cut passed by Congress. States showing the biggest gains in inequality were Alabama, Arkansas, Kansas, Nebraska, New Hampshire, and New Mexico. According to economists, despite a strong economy for the past 10 years and near full employment, wages have not gone up. And you're listening to the news on WBAI Pacifica Radio in New York. I'm Paul D'Arienzo. The whistleblower complaint that galvanized Washington, D.C. and led to an official impeachment inquiry of President Trump was declassified and then made public Thursday morning. The nine-page document provides many new details about the summertime phone call that features Trump encouraging the president of Ukraine to help investigate political rival Joe Biden. The complaint, a concerted White House effort to suppress the transcript of the call, and describes a shadow campaign of diplomacy by the president's personal lawyer, Rudy Giuliani, that unnerved some senior Trump administration officials. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi called the document proof of a cover-up by the president.
There is actions that are cover-up. Yeah, when you have a system of electronic storage for information that is specifically for national security purposes, and you have something that is self-serving to the president politically, and decide you might not want people to know, and you hide it someplace else, that's a cover-up.
Is there no other explanation for that action?
It's not only happened that one time. My understanding is that it may have happened before. But that's not there. Whatever other explanation there might be, an explanation is also that it is a cover-up. And this is, the president has been engaged in a cover-up all along. Why else would he be obstructing the courts, as they have ruled in our favor, to release the information about the Deutsche Bank and his records there, the Mazur, his accountant, and the records there, taxes and the records there. The whole emoluments issue is not a cover-up. That's self-evident. But a lot of it still contributes to the idea that the president believes that he is above the law being the Constitution of the United States, which strictly forbids a president from accepting an emolument from a foreign government. And now he's asking a foreign government to help him in his election. The president, as I have said, I respect the role of the president is to speak to foreign leaders, and sometimes their conversations have a level of confidentiality that is appropriate. It is not the role of the president to shake down foreign leaders for his own political purpose, withholding taxpayer money to do so.
Trump met reporters before boarding Air Force One. He says the complaint is the result of lies made up by the Democrats.
The president yesterday of Ukraine said there was no pressure put on him whatsoever, none whatsoever. And he said it loud and clear for the press. What these guys are doing, Democrats are doing to this country, is a disgrace, and it shouldn't be allowed. There should be a way of stopping it, maybe legally through the courts. It's a disgrace to our country. It's another witch hunt. Here we go again. It's Adam Schiff and his crew making up stories and sitting there like pious, whatever you want to call them. It's just a disgrace. It's a terrible thing for our country. They can't do any work. They're frozen, the Democrats. They're going to lose the election. They know it. That's why they're doing it. And it should never be allowed, what's happened to this president. They don't want to talk about infrastructure. They don't want to talk about lowering drug prices. They don't want to talk about anything because they're fixated on this. And Nancy Pelosi has been hijacked by the radical left, and everybody knows it. Thank you.
Meanwhile, this morning, the acting director of national intelligence, Joseph McGuire, answered questions from the House Intelligence Committee. The committee's ranking Republican Devin Nunes, a close ally of Trump, advised McGuire that his words would be twisted by those hostile to Trump. Nunes also implied that the CIA regularly tapes calls by government officials, an assertion McGuire denies.
You're going to be part of a charade of legal word games. They're going to try to get you to say something that can be repeated by the media that is here that wants to report this story. I just want to get one thing straight, because one of the quotes they're going to use from you is you saying that this was a credible complaint. That will be used and spun as you're saying that it was true. And I want to give you an opportunity to, you have not investigated the veracity or the truthfulness of this complaint.
That's correct, Ranking Member. The determination on credible was made by the IC Inspector General. He made the determination that it is credible, and he also made the determination of urgent concern. My question was not, I did not question his judgment there. The question I had was, does in fact this allegation of wrongdoing meet the criteria, the statutory criteria of urgent concern? And the other issue, as I said, complicated things. Did it, in fact, the allegations within this whistleblower complaint involve executive privilege?
There were only a few potential groups of people that would have known about this complaint. You and your people within your office.
Yes, sir.
The people within the Inspector General's office, and the whistleblower and whoever that whistleblower gave this information to. So what I'm trying to ascertain is, how would it run in all the mainstream media outlets? How did they get, even though they got a lot of it wrong, but they had the basics of it, that it involved the President of the United States talking to a foreign leader. So did anybody, you or anybody in your office, leak this to the Washington Post or NBC News?
Ranking Member, I lead the intelligence community. We know how to keep a secret. As far as how that got into the press, I really do not know, sir. I just know that it's all over the place, and as you said, it's been reported by different media for the past several weeks. Where they get their information from, I don't know.
So that
was,
you know,
but it was not from the intelligence community, from me, or from my office.
Thank you, Director. Is it normal for the President of the United States to have their conversations leak out? This is the third time.
I would have to leave that to the White House to respond to that, their Ranking Member. But to me, the President of the United States conversation with any other head of state, I would consider a privileged conversation.
But clearly, I mean, those conversations are being captured by the intelligence agencies. So
not necessarily, sir. I mean, if the president of the...
Well, I should say this. They're captured and then disseminated. Captured and disseminated to the intelligence agencies.
I have to be careful in this open hearing about, you know, how I respond to that. The intelligence community and the National Security Agency, obviously, you know, they collect things that are to protect...
I just want to make sure, because are we just going to... Foreign leaders, why don't I just have either the President of the United States not talk to foreign leaders, or we should just... Or publish all the transcripts, because that's what's happening here.
And Democrat Adam Schiff, who chairs the Intelligence Committee, pointed out that the Director of National Intelligence had deemed the whistleblower complaint as credible and turned it over to the Department of Justice, where it was declared not worthy of investigation.
Justice Department is referred to the FBI and Justice Department. That department, under Bill Barr, and with breathtaking speed, decided there's nothing to see here. It decided that we don't believe that this constitutes a violation of the campaign finance laws, and therefore we're not authorizing an investigation. The FBI is not authorized to investigate any of this. Any of this. So the IGs can't do it. According to the Department of Justice, the FBI can't do it because it doesn't meet their threshold that makes it worthy of investigation. So at this point, only this committee and this Congress is in a position to investigate. And I want to ask you, going to the whistleblower complaint, whether you believe these allegations are worthy of investigation. The whistleblower says, I have received information from multiple U.S. government officials that the President of the United States is using the power of his office to solicit interference from a foreign country in the 2020 U.S. election. You would agree that should be investigated, would you not?
Chairman, the horse has left the barn. You have all of the information. You have the whistleblower complaint. You have the letter from the ICIG. You have the Office of Legal Counsel opinion.
Yes, but
and you have
yes, we do. But would you agree that if there's a serious and credible
investigation,
you agree there should be an investigation?
I believe that it is a matter to be determined by the chair and this committee.
Do you believe if there is a credible allegation by a whistleblower, corroborated by apparently multiple U.S. government officials, that the President of the United States is using the power of his office to solicit interference from a foreign country in the 2020 election, do you believe that should be investigated?
I don't believe it was corroborated by other folks. The whistleblower says that he spoke or she spoke to about a dozen other people. This is secondhand information. I'm not criticizing the whistleblower.
Yes, but the Inspector General took those 2 weeks, as you well told us, to corroborate that information. Now, we don't know which, if any, of these officials the Inspector General spoke to, and found it credible. And you've told us that you have no reason to believe otherwise. Am I right?
I had no reason to doubt a career Inspector General lawyer in his determination on whether or not it was credible. That is something for Michael to determine.
And
the complaint asserts that Trump was trying to pressure Ukraine into investigating an allegation relating to one of Trump's favorite conspiracy theories, that Ukraine, somehow working with the Democratic Party, hired computer intelligence firm CrowdStrike, and that the Eastern European nation has possession of former presidential candidate Hillary Clinton's emails from her stint as Secretary of State under President Obama. CrowdStrike was reportedly investigating charges of Russian meddling in the 2016 U.S. presidential election. The call to Ukraine's President Zelensky occurred after Trump ordered a freeze of military aid. The whistleblower report said an official from the White House informed departments and agencies on July 18th that Trump had issued instructions to suspend all security assistance to Ukraine. Neither the White House Budget Office or National Security Council staff knew why this instruction had been issued. Representative Schiff asked if Trump's alleged attempts to get Ukraine to act in his personal behalf would amount to a national security
risks to U.S. national security and undermine the U.S. government's efforts to deter and counter foreign interference in U.S. elections. You would agree, if there's a credible allegation along those lines, that we should investigate it?
I agree that if there was an election interference, the complaint It was not about election interference. It was about a classified, confidential, diplomatic conversation.
Involving election interference by the president, sought by the president. That doesn't take it out of the realm of seeking foreign assistance. It makes it all the more pernicious. Wouldn't you agree?
As I said, I don't disagree with the IGIC's assessment that it was a credible matter.
The whistleblower further says, namely, the president, sought to pressure the Ukrainian leader to take actions to help the president's 2020 re-election bid. You would agree that that should be investigated?
Not necessarily, sir. I mean, as far as it was investigated by the Federal Bureau of Investigation.
No, it wasn't.
Yes, it went to the...
No, the Department of Justice concluded that this wouldn't violate the election laws. Now, no one can understand how they could reach that conclusion after the 2 years we've been through, but nonetheless, they didn't authorize the FBI to investigate it. You would agree someone should investigate this, wouldn't you?
I referred it. If I didn't, I would not have referred it to the Justice Department and to the FBI.
Well, then I'm glad that we're in agreement.
And Schiff returned to the Democratic Party's theme since the existence of a whistleblower was revealed, that Trump is running the country like a mob boss.
The whistleblower further says, in the days following the phone call, I learned from multiple U.S. officials that senior White House officials had intervened to lock down all the records of the phone call. Do you have any reason to believe that the whistleblower's allegation there is incorrect?
I have no idea whether it is correct or incorrect, sir.
Someone should find out, though, right?
Excuse me?
Someone should find out if it's correct, shouldn't they?
I don't know if that is an incorrect allegation. I mean, I just do not know. Again, that is the work, that is the business of the executive branch of the White House and the office of the White House.
No, corruption is not the business, or it shouldn't be, of the White House or anyone in it.
What the White House decides to do with their privileged communications and information, I believe, is the business of the White House.
Do you believe that's true even if that communication involves crime or fraud? I'm sure you're aware that there's an exception to any claim of privilege. The privilege can't be used to conceal crime or fraud.
As I said before, any crime or fraud or instances of wrongdoing should be referred to the Justice Department for investigation, as I did.
Schiff then called for more witnesses to Trump's behavior to step forward and praised whistleblowers, as long as they play by the rules.
On people of good faith to step forward when they see evidence of wrongdoing. The system won't work otherwise, and I have to say to our friends in Ukraine who may be watching, just how distressing it is that as their country fights to liberate itself from Russian oppression, as it fights to root out corruption in their own country, that what they would be treated to by the President of the United States would be the highest form of corruption in this country. That the President of the United States would be, instead of a champion of democracy and human rights and the rule of law, would instead be reinforcing a message with the new Ukrainian president who was elected to root out corruption, that instead the message to that president would be, you can use your Justice Department, just call Bill Barr, you can use our Justice Department to manufacture dirt on an opponent. That's what democracy is. You can use foreign assistance, military assistance, vital assistance as a lever to get another country to do something unethical. The idea that a fellow democracy, a struggling democracy, would hear those messages from the President of the United States. I just want to say to the people of Ukraine, we support you in your fight with Russia. We support you in your struggle for democracy. We support you in your efforts to root out corruption. And what you are witnessing and what you are seeing in the actions of this president is not democracy. It is the very negation of democracy.
And in related news, the New York Times and Los Angeles Times are reporting that Trump told staff from the U.S. mission to the United Nations he wanted to know who provided information to the whistleblower. The Los Angeles Times quoted Trump based on a recording of his remarks made by a person who attended the event in New York. Trump says, quote, I want to know who's the person. Who's the person who gave the whistleblower the information? Because that's close to a spy. You know what we used to do in the old days when we were smart? right? The spies and treason we used to handle it a little differently than we do now. Trump is apparently unaware that according to United States law, whistleblowers are protected from retaliation for disclosure of information which the employee or applicant reasonably believes evidences a violation of any law, rule, or regulation, or gross mismanagement, a gross waste of funds, an abuse of authority, or a substantial and specific danger to public health or safety. And in more national news, Donald Trump's new national security advisor attended a segregated university in South Africa, described by one of its former vice chancellors as routinely racist. Robert O'Brien, a relatively junior official appointed to the top White House post on Wednesday, went to the University of the Orange Free State under the South African apartheid system. South Africa at the time was considered a pariah state and faced wide-ranging academic, sporting, and cultural boycotts backed by the UN. The U.S. imposed sanctions in 1986, overriding a veto by Ronald Reagan. The law restricted trade and investment, but did not curtail academic contacts. Bill Fletcher is the former president of Trans Africa Forum, a senior scholar with the Institute for Policy Studies, and editorial board member of BlackCommentator.com. He says O'Brien's connections to South Africa at the height of apartheid during a boycott of the racist state is worth investigating.
His history is curious, to say the least, to have attended this quite racist institution in apartheid South Africa, for one, it makes it very curious, particularly given the time period. We're not talking about someone who went to the University of the Orange Free State in 1952. We're talking about someone that went in the late 1980s, as the anti-apartheid struggle was really heating up for its final round. Why he would attend that school at that point is very curious. But then you add on to that his apparent analysis of apartheid is at best milquetoast. It suggests that apartheid was, you know, not really a good system, but not terrible. It completely misstates the history and the reality of what was apartheid South Africa. So on its face, the appointment of someone like this is completely inappropriate.
What is the college that in South Africa that he taught at, and what is its history?
It is now called the University of the Free State. It was called at the time the University of the Orange Free State. And it was a school that was fairly notorious. It was a school that, by the admission of a former administrator at the school, was quite racist in its practice and in its theories. So he was there in the late 1980s. It was actually Professor Jonathan Jansen, who was a vice chancellor of the university, who commented on this. The other part of what makes this very, very unsettling is that this is one more example of an administration that doesn't, it's not simply that they don't get race. It's much worse than that. It's that they are prepared to support individuals who have at best a checkered history around race, and support institutions and individuals that advance, in effect, a right-wing populist orientation. What we have here is a national security advisor who was on the wrong side of the anti-apartheid struggle, has a skewed analysis of what was actually going on during the apartheid era, and you have that at the same time that the administration, you have a president who demonized countries of the global south, including but not limited to Africa, and carries out policies that support the atrocious treatment of Palestinians in what has become the apartheid Israel.
Anything you'd like to add?
Many people, unfortunately, have become so accustomed to the outrageous activities of the Trump administration that they feel like, well, you know, here he goes again, and we lapse into silence. And what I think we have to appreciate is that progressive people have to do exactly what the right wing is currently doing in defending Trump. We have to do it in opposing him. We have to be outspoken. We have to be almost obnoxious in our outspokenness around the activities of this administration and the attitude that it has towards foreign policy, towards race, etc., and not fall into silence, not fall into fatalism and acceptance of this situation. That's what we need to do right now. His history is...
Bill Fletcher is the former president of Trans Africa Forum, a senior scholar with the Institute for Policy Studies, and an editorial board member of BlackCommentator.com. And that's some of the news for Thursday, September 26, 2019. The news was engineered by Catherine Davis. For the WBAI Evening News, I'm Paul DiRienzo.